crypto is dead in America. At least billionaire Chamath Palihapitiya thinks so. He thinks that crypto is on the brink of extinction in the United States of America. However, I think he is dead wrong on this one. And in today's episode of Crypto Over Coffee, I'm going to share with you a few reasons why crypto is in fact not dead in America, and that the fight is really just beginning to save crypto in America. We've also got a bunch of crypto news stories on the way, so grab yourself a coffee, hit the subscribe button, and stick around for all the episode details that we have in store today. Now, the issue of crypto being dead in the USA is an interesting one. In a recent episode of the All In podcast, billionaire Chamath Palihapitiya claimed unabashedly that crypto is dead in America. You can listen to that real quick here.
Crypto's dead in America.
It is dead in America.
Crypto's dead in America. I mean, now you had Gensler even blaming the banking crisis on crypto. Just think that they were probably the ones that were the most threatening to the establishment.
Okay.
And they were the ones that, in fairness to the regulators, did push the boundaries more than any other sector of the startup economy.
Now, I do not disagree that there is a growing group of staunch opposition to crypto in both lawmaking and regulatory capacities. From Gary Gensler at the SEC to Elizabeth Warren in Congress, and the bad actors like FTX did a real big deal of damage to the reputation of crypto in all those circles. There's a price to pay there, and Chamath is right to say that. That said, to say that crypto is dead in America already is an exaggeration at best. For one, there's absolutely no policy being passed for real right now that infringes upon crypto or crypto companies in a way that actually bans them from operation. There are ideas, there are bills, there's enforcement action, but not hard policy. And to ban or truly kill crypto in America, there will need to be policy in place to do so, and there isn't yet. Secondly, there's a dark horse in this whole game right now, and that's Coinbase. Coinbase is a well-heeled, regulated, compliant, publicly traded company, and they were just engaged by the SEC by way of a Wells notice, which is a notification that enforcement action is likely to follow. In response to that Wells notice, Coinbase sued the SEC on grounds of lack of response to a formal inquiry related to the extension of existing securities laws to crypto. And I think the SEC has finally overplayed here, and the crusade against crypto could backfire big time as a result. Here's why. Coinbase, unlike Ripple Labs, who the SEC has been fighting in court for years, represents a broad swath of the crypto space, including a plethora of tokens, a self-custody crypto wallet, an exchange, staking services, and a whole bunch more. Coinbase is also really well capitalized, and they've already made a statement of intent to go to any means necessary to fight the SEC, stating it will, quote, exhaust all avenues if sued. All the influencers have latched onto this whole rumor about Coinbase leaving the USA, which I think is a load of garbage clickbait trap. Coinbase is not going to leave its primary customer base, at least without a fight. However, it's a powerful tool to threaten that, because lawmakers will use that as a tool to fight against any unjust enforcement action and poor policy. Because it's a great soundbite. Think about it. You know, if we do this, we're going to lose big companies and tax revenue from American-made companies like Coinbase. And Coinbase is far from perfect, and I've been critical of them for years. But a sound victory in court against the SEC would be a complete 180 shift from the current state of play in the US right now with regard to crypto policy. I mean, the SEC has done about as good a job protecting investors from FTX and Celsius and the other bad actors as a wet t-shirt would keep you warm in the winter. So they're not really the shining knight for everyone these days either. Now is not the time to quit. It's the time for us to actually fight this fight. And the fight's just beginning. And the last thing I'm going to say here is that crypto is only dead when we all stop building and working towards the end goal, which is mainstream adoption of decentralized technologies. And if centralized, scammy garbage in crypto is made extinct in the course of this fight for decentralized tech, then that's fine. I mean, other Western countries are light years ahead of where we are in the US. Let's just look at the UK, for example, which brings me to the next story. I read a report recently on the engagement that the Financial Conduct Authority of the United Kingdom has been making with crypto industry there. Quote, "Let's work together to shape our rules and regulations to benefit markets, consumers, and firms as crypto goes from niche to mainstream. We want industry's input to make sure we get the future regulatory regime for crypto assets right." It really is that simple. As a regulator or a lawmaker, you engage the industry to understand how things work, you work together to create sensible policy, and you make it clear before you enforce it. It's not rocket science, and it shouldn't be a political circus, and nor should it be partisan. The UK was once a very negative place for crypto as well, but it seems the tides are shifting with the rhetoric from the current regulatory bodies in the engagement with industry to form common sense policy together. That's really all that's been asked for in the USA as well. And people have come up with all kinds of theories as to why we cannot get that in the US. The big claim is that the US is fighting crypto due to de-dollarization. But the concern about de-dollarization is not about what happens on US soil, it's about what happens everywhere else, which is not in the US's control. To me, it doesn't make sense to ascribe the US's adversarial approach to crypto to de-dollarization alone, because stopping crypto in the US doesn't stop it anywhere else. To me, we're facing a set of bad actors regulating and lawmaking in bad faith without engaging the industry. And that's the issue. Anyway, the fact remains that the recent messaging from the UK Financial Conduct Authority is exactly what should be happening in all Western countries, actually in every country. Regulation's inevitable, so it's best for it to be collaboratively developed than built exclusively by outsiders who don't understand what they're regulating. And real quick, before we turn attention to the Ethereum drama that I'm going to talk about next, or I guess dispelling the Ethereum drama, I want to encourage you to sign up for the Crypto Over Coffee newsletter, which is a free weekly update on the latest crypto news that you need to know that you can read in less time than it takes to crush your Sunday morning coffee. You're also going to get an exclusive insight into my portfolio moves, as well as alpha on projects I'm researching or trends I'm seeing, as well as access to polls and suggestion boxes that will directly inform the content on this channel. So the link to sign up for free is in the description if you want to sign up and read the first issue, which is going out actually today. Now, shifting gears, I want to also address all the drama around the Ethereum staking unlock that happened at the beginning of April while I was still on my little hiatus. Because the reality of this event was far different from the speculation and doom prognostication that you saw on Twitter. As you probably know, the recent Shapella upgrade on Ethereum allowed those who had staked their ETH in proof of stake years ago to unlock that stake and withdraw it, so they have liquidity again. While I disagreed with the way that this was executed so long after Ethereum merged to proof of stake, there was a lot of FUD being thrown around about ETH imploding after the staking unlock. You read all kinds of stuff online, like a tsunami of ETH is going to be for sale, Ethereum's going to nosedive due to sell pressure, active stake's going to drop to levels that compromise the security of Ethereum. And to the casual observer, this probably seemed like legitimate concern. However, as is usually the case, the reality was far different from the fear-mongering. While ETH stake withdrawals did commence as planned, the total deposits outweighed withdrawals from stake fairly quickly after that initial run in withdrawals. In fact, last week, hundreds of thousands of ETH were added in stake. Frankly, if it were easier to stake ETH today for the average person, I think these numbers would even be significantly higher than they are now. And that needs to get fixed next, by the way. Make it easy for individuals to stake. But still, the price of ETH didn't really tank. Ethereum security didn't wither away. And the lesson here is not to subscribe to the fear peddling that gets so much attention on social media, because it just breeds bad decision making and stress. Get the facts, figure out what it's all saying, and then make your decision. The trend line on ETH stake is positively sloped, not negatively. So before we dive into 404 logic not found here, I also wanted to draw attention to the latest upgrade for USDC, the US dollar stablecoin available on many different blockchains. Recently, Circle, the parent behind USDC, announced Cross-Chain Transfer Protocol, or CCTP, which allows users to easily secure and transfer their USDC between different blockchains, starting with Ethereum and Avalanche and then expanding to other chains. This platform is based on a burn and mint strategy, which takes USDC on the origin chain and burns it, removing it from supply, and then after burning, mints the equivalent amount of USDC on the destination chain for the user to claim and use. CCTP was designed to create a trusted path between USDC's many host blockchains to reduce the risk that crypto users face in using cross-chain bridges, which have been hacked for billions in the past couple years. And the whole purpose of this is to enable a cleaner UX for those who wish to use USDC across multiple different blockchains, which will include an expanding list of chains over time. Now, some dislike USDC due to the centralized nature of its operations, but those looking for a stable, predictable stablecoin with trusted rails may still wish to use USDC over other options like USDT or Tether. And my friends, it is now time for 404 Logic Not Found, a little segment that we do here that debunks or otherwise dismantles the most illogical happenings or thoughts in the crypto world. And today the focus is squarely on the very loud conversation on social media about how the banking crisis that's unfolding in the United States and in other countries is bullish for crypto. And this is a dangerous game, betting on a crisis, but it seems that most people are in agreement that banks collapsing means crypto goes up, and it has followed that trend, I must admit, to date. However, it's complete nonsense in the long term, and it could be a bearish signal. And here's why. Crypto is already being blamed, falsely I might add, for the banking failures starting with Silicon Valley Bank. As more banks fail, the weight of regulatory scrutiny and lawmaker blowback on crypto will be worse. And banks who today are friendly to crypto at the retail level will cut it off entirely due to the perceived risk associated with it. As it stands, banks are already cutting off crypto companies and individuals who use crypto services, closing accounts with little to no warning. Now, I get the whole, you know, banks failing prove crypto's value prop as an alternative currency spiel, but my big issue with that is that most crypto is not a safe haven nor economically sound. In fact, besides Bitcoin, maybe Ethereum, and a handful of others, I'd hesitate to say there are many assets in the crypto class that I'd say is even in the ballpark of being a hedge against financial tumult. There will be many who seek refuge in an asset separate from the banking system, but for this to happen en masse, for Bitcoin or any other asset, people must be able to use Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies as a medium of exchange for goods and services. And that's not a reality today. Furthermore, what happens when there's no more fiat on-ramp because banks have moved against crypto? Do you think retail is going to pile into crypto if there's no path to invest in dollars? I don't think so. And I guess you could say that what might happen is that the only way to buy crypto will be through Fidelity, BlackRock, and others like them. But that's not great either. Point being, long before the financial system falters to the point or to the degree that the average Joe will look to seek refuge in an alternative asset, the banks and other on-ramps will have cut off all paths to those alternative assets already. So I see people saying, well, oh, if this happens, just opt out. Well, it's not necessarily going to be a viable option for a lot of people when push comes to shove. And it's illogical, in my view, to be so reductive with complex economic issues. It's really not as simple as saying the equation is widespread bank failures equals Bitcoin goes to 1 million per coin. The realities of total economic collapse are far more complicated than that, and I don't think it's smart to boldly promise such outcomes when we simply don't know what's around the corner next week, let alone next month or the next year or two. The bottom line is that it's important to hedge against all sorts of crazy outcomes, and Bitcoin and other cryptos is a huge part of my mix for that reason. But I'm not one who subscribes to the idea of simple cause and effect in the markets. Bank failures are not, in isolation, a guarantee of crypto price appreciation, and it would be best to remember that. Anyways, it's really good to be back, my friends. If you got a few minutes, though, check out this video right here on the screen that goes over a really important security tip for those of you who participate in DeFi or NFT marketplaces, anything that happens on-chain, especially using a MetaMask wallet or similar. Really important video. But I will see you again soon. Thank you for your support. Cheers.